Thank you for joining us here at Channel 42 News. As we start off with each broadcast, let's first go to Chuck and take a look at our internet traffic report.
Thanks, Greg. The old C3 is humming along nicely with uploads and downloads moving well in both directions. You can expect some delays on the T1 between the Netgear bypass and the D-Link interchange. Traffic is only moving along at 10 to 15 kbps, so give yourself some extra time for that download. Looking at the Cisco Freeway, traffic is moving smoothly between the 6500 and the 3548, but starts to slow down where the old Linksys Highway was taken over a few months ago. If you plan on going wireless, I suggest an alternate router since the default gateway is blocked due to a denial of service attack earlier this morning. Bluecoats don't have much to go on, but witnesses report a man wearing a subnet mask. You should be able to get in around port 22 without a problem. That's your internet traffic report. Now back to Technorama.
Welcome to Technorama, coming to a theater near you, and there's nothing you can do about it. This is show number 85 for Stardate 2006.02.20. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who keeps reminding me that Kermit is a Muppet character and a file transfer protocol. It's my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. Kermit rules. Rock on.
We forgot the noise with the Stardate. Started 2006.02.20.
Okay, let's start over. Welcome to Techno.
No. Never mind. Let's move right along.
Yes, please.
We've got a lot coming up in this show, including I'm going to tell you about how I've gone a little TiVo crazy this week.
He's gone TiVo crazy.
We've got one final entry in the Griffin Prize giveaway extravaganza, and we've got one that's going out the door. We'll tell you who the winner is a little later in the show. We've got a man who made an alarm clock out of a Nintendo NES.
Oh, that rocks.
We've got a look at the future from the past, and a landmark from Yorga's neighborhood.
Ogreland.
All this, and coming up, more I'm not doing so well because I'm medicated.
Let's go.
On this day in tech history for February 20th, 2006. This is February 20th. It's the 51st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 314 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1873, the University of California opens its first medical school in San Francisco, California. Also on this date in 1931, California gets the go-ahead by the U.S. Congress to build the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. The Avro Aero program to design and manufacture supersonic jet fighters in Canada is canceled by the Diefenbacher government amid much political debate on this date in 1959. And it was on this date in 1962, while aboard Friendship 7, John Glenn orbits the Earth three times in 4 hours 55 minutes, becoming the first American to orbit the Earth. And it was 3 years later, in 1965, Ranger 8 crashes into the moon after a successful mission of photographing possible landing sites for the Apollo program astronauts. And it was on this date in 1987 in Salt Lake City, Utah, that the Unabomber sets off a bomb that explodes in a computer store. Apple announced on this date in 2004 that it would begin shipping iPod minis. Where are they now? Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1844 to Ludwig Boltzmann, the Austrian physicist. And the American photographer Ansel Adams was born on this date in 1902. The German chemist and Nobel Prize winner Robert Huber turned 69 years old today. And Joel Hodgson, the American comedian and creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, turns 46. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for February 20th, 2006.
Here at the Center of Podcast Studies, we know the dangers of podcasting and what you should avoid. Here's a sample.
Oh, it works.
Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits.
But... Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your Geek Morning Show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
For your own research materials, visit chuckchat.com/technorama. Protect yourself.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Wow, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm tired. Let's go home.
My nose hurts.
All right, everybody, listen. Here's the listener line. And, oh, I'm sorry, that's later.
Yeah, hold on. We're not done yet.
We're just getting started.
Ugh, had to stretch out for that one. We've got email.
Yes!
You have new mail.
Yahoo!
What if I use Google?
AOL.
You got AOL.
We got an email I forgot to read out last time from Phil Clark. He wants to know if anybody's using Firefox with WebEx. He says he has a bit of a problem with that. WebEx is the online collaboration, presentation, conferencing, sharing thing. Has anybody used that with Firefox? And if so, what did you do to get it working? Pass on your tips, tricks, and emails to us at chuck@chuckchat.com. We'll get us there.
Yeah. I've used WebEx before, and I can't remember if I have or not. However, I do have a suggestion. There's a view in IE, so if you're running Windows and you have Firefox,
yeah,
you can install this view IE extension, and, of course, you can right-click on any toolbar and do customize, and you can drag your little button somewhere on a toolbar, and when you're viewing the page, you click on it, it'll actually open up an instance of IE within the browser tab.
Hmm.
And then you can see what it looks like in IE, and everything will work just like in IE. I use that at work when I'm checking to see if something looks the same between both browsers.
Kind of like a compatibility mode?
Exactly. You click on the little button, and everything, the page you're looking at right then, actually it'll load it up in IE.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can just click it, and it goes back to Firefox. And then at the bottom, I've got the little grease monkey icon, but in the bottom right hand, you can see a little icon, you can click and it'll just toggle back and forth.
We've also got a lot of voicemail tonight. Have you noticed that our Sunday/Monday show often has more voicemail than the Wednesday/Thursday show?
Well, there's another day or so in there.
Yeah, but I think it's... Well, I'm not going to hypothesize yet. But we'll start out with this one from Phil Burchill in response to Kevin Devon's Guy on the Roadside with the Sign.
Hi guys, this is Phil from London, England. Just listened to the show and heard Kevin's segment about the guy with the whiteboard and trying to pull people over for gas. We had this scam here a few years ago. There used to be these couple of guys in boiler suits trying to pull you over, and once they managed to pull you over, they try and sell you Italian clothes or fake Italian clothes. So maybe that's what it was. They were trying to sell you clothes or something. Who knows? Bye. Good show, by the way.
Italian clothes. Or they try and dress you in circus clothes.
It's a good thing Kevin didn't pull over.
He might be wearing a fake Armani suit.
I'm going to give you your clothes. Whoa. No, it's Kmart. Anyway.
All right, we've got another one. This one's a little more menacing, though.
Okay.
Chuck and Craig, you've gone too far with your outlandish show openers. The Sith can no longer take this.
Nah, screw the Sith.
No world. The Sith is now sending us a warning.
I'm just glad they're getting the show.
Man, that's a load of...
I find your lack of faith disturbing. And then our good buddy Douglas E. Welch heard that Craig took his advice a little too seriously. And, you know, when Craig made that off comment that said, "Hey, Douglas, good advice. I quit my job."
Hey, Craig, it's Doug from Career Opportunities. Did you really quit your job after listening to my show? Sweet. Now I can finally get that 50 your manager promised me.
I had a feeling they were trying to get rid of me. Damn them. Oh, well.
It's pretty funny. And Yorga's got one for us. This kind of fits into an article we've got.
Wait.
You want to hold on that one?
Actually, I tell you what. I'm going to skip ahead if you've already got lined up.
All right.
And talked about it real quick.
All right, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, it's actually in our news or whatever. Anyway, the adamantium. That's Wolverine's. That's Wolverine's metal in his arm. Atomium. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Anyway, it was an entry over at Wikipedia. I found this via Google Sightseeing. Mm-hmm. It's like the iron molecule, but like magnified. And Yorga will tell you how many times. But the thing is huge. It's kind of like seeing the Eiffel Tower. They built it for, like, was it the World's Fair?
It was a 1958 World's Fair, something
yeah,
like that.
And it was supposed to last just a little while, you know, and they were going to keep it around for 6 months. It ended up being one of those things where they just leave it. You know, they do that all the time. You think they would just plan ahead and make something
last
that was supposed to last. But anyway, it looks like a big molecule sitting there, and it's an awesome structure. And I'd say go check it out. Anyway, as I found this, I saw that it actually reopened Saturday. They were doing renovations, and I think they were covered in some kind of polished steel or stainless steel or something like that. Anyway, your girl will tell you about this, so here we go.
Hi, Chuck and Craig. It's Jorgo from Belgium. Craig asked me about Het Atomium, which is a building in Brussels. It was built for the World Expo of 1958. It stands 103 meters tall. It was modeled after an iron crystal that has been magnified 165 billion times. And it, when it originally was built, it was planned to stay there for 6 months, but it's still there today. It was built by André Waterken. Oh, I hope that's pronounced correctly. I think it's a French name, I don't know. There have been some renovation works done to it, and it shall reopen today, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that was about all I had found with a quick Google, so, well, bye.
Kind of sounds like my career. I was originally hired to be a 3-month employee. 18 years later, I'm still there.
Well, you know, they'll fix the glitch. They'll figure out how to fix it, so... Yeah, so I get all this functionality. Look, honey, I'm watching a trailer off the internet.
Oh, man, I'm getting more and more eager to buy one.
When I moved it, I heard something go, guess what was in there?
Harrison, we don't
get more subscribers. We're going to fall off the
list. Man.
It's more complex than that. All we ask is that you tell a friend a week. And if you like Technorama, odds are they will like Technorama.
Throw us a bone here.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat room. Wow, we've got a crowd in there tonight.
I know. It's kind of smoky, too.
We've got the RoboChuck 2000, who's got a new feature. He's been upgraded this week.
Yes.
Craig gave the ability to add things to the fridge, so everybody's been sticking things in there from body parts to moldy cheese to whatever.
A chair.
We've got Beaker 1, East Bay Ant, Jeep and Dave, Joni, KO, BJ Kiefer, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Scafey, Tim Elliott, Victor Cahiao, and Zahadoom.
That's K-Owl.
Did I say it wrong yet? K-Owl. Yes. Thank you.
You're fired. I'm going to have to write you up after this.
And we'll have to have, like, bonus points and demerits on Technorama. It's better than the drinking game.
They put us so far under the school. Throw away the king.
Shall we go on to the news?
Yes, let's go on to the news.
Bring us through the first one.
The first one here is, you know the magazine Omni?
Yeah, I used to subscribe to it.
Yeah, I did too. I think it kind of fell off the earth. I don't know what happened. Any rate, they had this poll. This is back in like 1987 on what life would be like in 2007, talking to certain people, getting their opinions first, and then they list reader feedback and get a gauge on what they think. So number, like, here's for example. Speaking to Timothy Leary, who is now passed, believes that in 2007, every school child would have his or her own computer, and that would be as disposable as a pair of sneakers.
Well, you know, they're about the same price now. Laptops have come down, and sneakers have gone up. So,
hey, well, you know, they got the $100 laptop.
They're as disposable as a pair of sneakers. Kids, you can't throw away those $200 sneakers.
Well, you know what's sad is I'm glad computers aren't like shoes and get stinky because people want to throw their computers out. I'm like, hey, wait, I'll take it.
Another one is, according to David Byrne, lead singer of the rock group Talking Heads, another historical item, video has already and will continue to have a great impact on the arts, but books will always be there. In your opinion, what will be the state of the arts in 2007? Well, you know, video has caught on, technology has advanced, and... you know, a lot of these are darn near right on the money.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? This is funny, too. Are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
I got to do this one. The next one on the list was, according to Professor of Economics, Robert Hill-Bronner, however you say his name, Americans have been long accustomed to being considered number one in the world terms of our, let me back up. Hold on. According to the Professor of Economics, Robert Heilbronner, Americans long accustomed to being considered number one in the world in terms of economy, I still can't say it, screw it.
Would you like me to take over?
may find that the Pacific Rim nations have taken over them. Now, I thought this was funny because India is a Pacific Rim nation.
Yeah.
And that's where we're outsourcing all our stuff to.
Yeah.
So, it's like...
And Malaysia and China, and a lot of these are being offshored and outsourced by other companies. So, you know, that's a pretty accurate measurement to see that coming 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know. They're not, like, overtaking us in, you know, for the economy, but I just thought it was funny that things had shifted that way to a point. So, anyway, yeah, that's pretty good. So go check that out.
Yep, go read the rest of them. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And we'll skip the...
And speaking of 20 years from now, I think people will still be using FrontPage, even though Microsoft has canned it.
Oh, gosh.
That's the official news now. They will not be putting this into Office 2007, a.k.a. Office version 12.
You know, I did the happy FrontPage is gone, you know, ding dong, which is dead, kind of dance. I wouldn't hurt when I read this, but... You're right.
It's going away doesn't mean people will stop using it.
Well, yeah, and you know, this other day, somebody came to me and called me at my desk and was like, "Can you ask you a favor, helping me edit this form?" I was like, "Okay." And it was, I just took this front page class, and I was like, oh, "Why do you take an HTML class?"
No kidding.
Front page makes some garbage HTML.
So does Word.
Yeah, you don't. Man, you change styles and do all that stuff, save it out to HTML and look at it. All the styles are in line with the code, and it makes it a monster. And it's got all kinds of little crap in there that you don't need. Trying to think what it's some word-specific stuff that it kind of comments out that just makes it hard to read. So, yes, it's you don't need to use Word for HTML page. Come on, people.
Have you found any hacks and strange stories this week, Craig?
Yes, Chuck, I have.
Thanks.
Now,
I'm not feeling well tonight. I'm barely pulling, treading water.
I don't know. Well, that's all right. Actually, I thought you were doing pretty good tonight.
I haven't taken the NyQuil yet.
An improvement.
Yet. Anyway, this is an alarm clock, which, frankly, I really need one like this. It's an NES unit that the guy took, and I hope it was broken, and he took and gutted it and put an alarm clock in there.
Well, yeah, so I think the article said I was at, a rummage sale or a garage sale or a junkyard sale.
Oh, you can get
this
for like and, 50 cents or
and
something.
And he said he had two broken ones. He goes, what am I going to do with two broken ones? Make an alarm clock, of course.
And you know the little flap where you open it up to slide the cartridge in?
Yep.
Well, you open that up and it has the clock display in there. It looks really nice.
It does look really nice. You did a mm-hmm. good job on cleaning it all up. And there were some interesting engineering things he had to work around as well.
Yeah, it did. So, yeah, go have a look at that. He's got some nice pictures up there and a good ramp on how he did it. So, I may have to see if I can talk my wife and let me put one of these in.
Oh, that'd be nice. A bit overkill, but fun.
Yeah.
I have not tried this yet, so this is an untested product.
Anything smart, we're getting rid of it. Download them all, which I like. Platypus, Sapair, and The Wiz. And you look under the word geek in the dictionary, and you'll see us there.
Really?
Yes.
You did this to me!
Please hang up and try again.
I wonder what
you
they were
did
doing.
This to me.
Hey, I think I mentioned. Did I mention on the last show, or was that after we were off the air that I mentioned that I got a TiVo?
No, you didn't mention it last time.
Okay.
This was news to me this week.
I know I'm late to the table with TiVo, but, hey, I only got an ATM about 18 months ago. So, or an ATM card.
A whole ATM?
Just the card. Just the card.
Hey, man, send me some money over.
Wednesday, my buddy Ryan and I were talking, and he said, my wife got me a TiVo, a Series 2, with a $150 rebate at Best Buy. I went, oh, my gosh. How much did you actually pay for it? He said about $25-$30. I said, that's too good to pass up. I was just thinking about getting one. So on our way back from our traditional Wednesday chili run, we swung by Best Buy, and I picked me up one. And I was going to do it Wednesday night, so I'd have something to talk about, but it just schedule didn't work out. So Thursday, the kids had a snow day. I did work from home. And Thursday night, I hooked it up and started playing around with it and just fell in love with it. So I opted to start out simple and just put it in the living room because I tried putting this in our family room, but with the DVD player and a VCR and a TiVo, it just kind of got messy on the wiring.
You need a switcher at that point.
Oh, no kidding. Things are just so nasty, and I don't even have a cable box or digital cable or any of that stuff. So I said, start out simple. TiVo, TV, done. I got it hooked up, but there were two problems when I installed this one. First, the batteries in the remote were dead, which was kind of frustrating.
The ones that came with it?
The ones that came with it. They were like, Enercell 3 or something. Just real generic name. And my nearby phone jack, because you have to hook it up to the phone jack initially, that was disconnected. Sometime during our construction in 2001, it must have got taken out. So I went down to the punch block and snapped it back into place real quick and got it all up and running. Had fun. I recorded BSG on Friday night, put that in the season's pass thing. I've got, a week or so of free trial on most of the features. They want you to get lured into the service, but I haven't subscribed yet. The kids love it. They say, oh, yeah, our friends have that. I love hitting pause. Now I say,
Come and clear your dishes. That stuff is worth its weight in gold.
I say, kids, come and clear your dishes. They just put the TV on pause, and they actually do clear the dishes. They're not gone. But I was so happy that Friday I went out and bought a second one and a 27-inch LCD TV.
And now Sunday I've got 32 of them in a series.
I've got a little bit of buyer's remorse because I normally don't go to Best Buy and get big expensive things. I'd go and get a gadget, a NIC, a USB memory stick or something. I just have a hard time dropping $1,000. I did get two of the Netgear USB 802.11g. USB sticks, and it worked on the first one, and when I plugged into the second one, it didn't work. Well, I realized that the firmware wasn't updated yet on the second one, so I had to wait till Saturday, go through the whole reboot process. Then it worked like a champ. And, my question to the listener is, what can you do if you don't order the service? I know there's got to be a lot of TiVo users out there. I've been researching some of the hacks. You can put on different bootloaders and things, but you know, if I wanted to do that, I probably would have gone to build a Myth TV or something. So I'm not sure. I think you can still program manually, say 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on channel 58. Yeah, that gets a little manual. You can't do the seasons pass. You don't get the program guides downloaded. But what I did find out is, I have two of these. I get to pay double subscription. It's not per household. It's per unit, which I thought really sucked. But if you've got two of them and they're on the network, you can use things like TiVo to go, which means you can download your videos to your computer, which I'm hoping eventually will lead to iPod. And you can move them between rooms. So if I record something on the downstairs one, I can play it on the upstairs one. So,
so you haven't tried the TiVo to go yet?
No, it's not in the freebie service. I actually have to subscribe to get that.
What?
No, because, the media access key is not enabled until you subscribe. And you need that to enable TiVo to go on the PC. And that is only PC. However, there is a TiVo to go control panel system preferences widget that goes on the Mac so you can share your iPhoto pictures and your iTunes music, which I thought was kind of cool. But, again, that's not enabled until you sign up for the subscription, which is, $12.95 a month times two, or you can do the lifetime membership plan for $300. I'm like, oh, man.
$300 for both?
No, each. So now you know why I'm looking for alternatives.
Actually, you know what? I will say one thing. When I had two units, I still got... I don't have TiVo on, but actually, you know what? Come to think of it, I'm not sure. I have a DirecTV, and I got a TiVo downstairs for the DirecTV. Upstairs, I just had a regular receiver. I was thinking to have one up here, too, but I don't know how they charge, because that was actually going through DirecTV for the charges. But they charged us like $5 extra, even for our level of service, to have the TiVo listings as well. It kind of sucks, because all you're doing... is getting the listings.
I do like having it on the network, though. That frees up, the phone cords aren't running across. Just a little USB thing hanging out the back works really well.
Yeah.
TiVo listeners, if you're out there, please, speak up. Let us know what you've done, how it's worked, and we'll go from there. I'm interested in some serious feedback on this one. We do have a prize giveaway to give. We did the drawing. My daughter Julie picked the name for the iTrip Auto. And the winner is...
RoboChuck.
No, not RoboChuck. BJ Kiefer, one of our listeners who had entered in, and he's in the chat room right now. So congratulations, BJ. He did also send back this email. I'll read you an excerpt. He says, also, don't mind the pick on the Frapper map. My fiancé and I have a thing for woodchucks. And, well, I found your podcast while looking for things on woodchucks. Sorry, but I'm a devoted listener. I don't know anybody who has to apologize for being a devoted listener, but I'm still trying to connect the dots on how Technorama got to woodchucks.
Hey, just visit our website at woodchuckchat.com/Technorama. We have to go register before the show goes out.
Woodchuck. We get all those wood, and we can be in the woodchuck forums.
Let's check the woodchuck chat room. And by the way, in the chat room, like I said, for RoboChuck, anybody can add items to the fridge that RoboChuck serves out of. And
what's in the fridge now?
Well, let's look. Let me pull it up. Give me 1 second here.
Before the show started, people have been adding all kinds of, like I said, nasty things to the fridge.
Okay.
Real quick, don't have to read the whole list. Just read some of the better ones.
Okay, I got 85 items are in there now. Actually, I'll tell you what. Let's go look at the last page, because that would be more interesting. All right. All right, here we go. Number 61, shrimp for Barbie.
Hey, that's a good one.
Turn on the webcam. I think that was directed towards me. We got Mountain Dew, Samuel Adams Black Lager. That sounds good. Whipped cream mixer, can of whoop ass. That's where I've been keeping it. Cola, kale cup, koala pig, Dr. Pepper. I'm not sure about this one, because Kvarcier or whatever, VSOP.
Kvarcier.
Kvarcier, duh. Kvarcier. Free beer. Hey, there's free beer in the fridge. Bomb. Okay. Chuck is in the fridge. I think
in the fridge.
Rusty old nail. That would be Chuck. Flowers, pizza, another fridge.
I put a CD with the latest episode of Technorama in the fridge.
Kegregator. That may be me. More beer. Yellow fizzy beer. Fizzies. Homebrew. Candle. Something tasty and nice cast.
Nice cast?
That must be Victor.
We're putting things in the fridge that don't belong in the fridge. Someone put a chair in there.
That was me while I was testing it. So anyway, you can go to the chat room and you can ask Chuck or RoboChuck to get something from the fridge for you. Anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I'll be adding stuff to him, and I'll post a whole list of all this stuff that's in there, the inventory, in our wiki.
Now, real quick, Geek Thoughts?
Sure.
Geek Thoughts.
Most printers consist of three main parts: the case, the jam paper tray, and the blinking red light.
Like free software? Better yet, like free software with the power to make it something different and better for everybody? Valid Syntax is a short 10-minute podcast looking at the status of open source projects as reported at SourceForge and FreshMeat and others you might find useful for any OS. Also, with your help, we'll spotlight on each show a project of the day, editorials, and possibly have a little fun along the way. So join me twice a week for all this and more at ValidSyntax.com. Remember, without Valid Syntax, you can't do anything.
Hey, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, it's a jerk.
Don't be so hard on him.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't.
That ought to wrap it up for this time.
Yeah, let's go put Chuck to bed. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. It's your turn to contact us. And you can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And who's that other guy? Oh, yeah, you can email me, kreg@chuckchat.com. And the only constant in the universe is chuckchat.com, not woodchuckchat.com. There for links to our forums over at Friends in Tech, swag, webcams, all that good stuff. And our show notes.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more about Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. Forums are actually hosted over there, so you get all the combined forums for career opportunities, the High Tech Career Handbook, In the Trenches. What's Lance's show? Digital Experience Podcast. Wow. I really got to get some sleep.
A little editing when we get done here.
Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, big binary high five.
010.
Wrong way. Turn it around.
101.
Wake up if you're asleep.